Om sahana prabhatu, sahana punaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvina patitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
We'll just chant this together.
Om Ganana Antwa Ganapatigum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrinvanu Tibisi Dasadhanam Om Mahaganapataye Namaha Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalagnikalaya Kalagni Rudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sriman Mahadevaya Namaha Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bantanam Mrityor Mukshiyamamrita Asa Om Shanno Mitrasang Varunaha Shanno Pavatvaryama Shanna Indro Brahaspatihi Shanno Vishnurukramaha Namo Brahmane, Namaste Vayo, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishami, Ritam Vadishami, Satyam Vadishami, Tanmamavatu, Tadvaktaramavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti 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 Bhi. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Punaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvina Patitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Bhi. Om Yaschanda Samrishabho Vishvarupaha Shando Pyotyamrita Atsam Bhapuva Samindro Metaya Aspranotu Amritasya Devatarano Bhuyasam Shariram Me Vicharshanam Jyavva Me Matumattama Karna abhyam puri vishuvam Brahmana koshosi metaya pitaha Shritam me gopaya Om shanti 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 Om aham vrikshasya reriva Kirtya prishtangireriva Urdhva pavitro vajini vasvamritamasmi dravinagum savarchasam sumedha amritokshitaha iti trishankor vedanu vachanam om shanti 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 om purnamadav purnamidam purnat purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vakpranas Chakshu Shrotra Mato Balamindriyani Chasarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astvanirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishad Siddharmaste Santu te mayi santu. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Go to the bottom, Bhadram.
Om Bhadram Karne Vishnuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashe Makshapir Yachatraha Stirai Rangai Istushtuvagum Sastanubihi Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swastina Sarksho Arishanemihi Swastino Brahaspatir Tatantu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Let's try Wang Mei together at the top of page 5.
Om Wang Mei Manasi Pratishtita Mano me vachi pratishtitam avir maedhi vedasya maani istaha shrutam me ma prahasihi anena ditena aho ratran santadami ratam vadishami satyam vadishami Tanmamavatu, Tadvaktaramavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Now repeat twice after me.
Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita.
One more time.
Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita. Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam. Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam. Mano me vachi pratishtitam.
Again.
Mano me vachi pratishtitam.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful. Isn't that nice? Yes.
Avira virma eti. Om vang me manasi pratishtita. Mano me vachi pratishtitam avira virma edhi.
Again.
Vedasya maani istaha. Vedasya ma'ani istaha. Vedasya ma'ani istaha.
Again.
Vedasya ma'ani istaha.
Again. Again.
Vedasya ma'ani istaha. Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Shrutam me ma prahasihi.
Again.
Shrutam me ma prahasihi.
Again.
Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Anena titena. Anena titena. Anena titena.
Again.
Anena titena. Aho ratran santadami. Aho ratran santadami. Aho ratran santadami.
Again.
Aho ratran santadami.
Again.
Aho ratran santadami.
Ratang vadishyami.
Ratang vadishyami. Ratang vadishyami. Ratam vadishyami.
Again.
Ratam vadishyami.
Again.
Satyam vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami.
Again.
Satyam vadishyami. Everybody saying satyam, not satyam, okay. Satyam vadishyami. Go ahead.
Satyam vadishyami.
Satyam vadishyami.
Satyam vadishyami.
Back to the ritang, we'll do those two. Ritang vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami.
Ritang vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami.
Tanmamavatu.
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 Again.
Tanmamavatu.
Tadvaktaramavatu. 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 Again.
Tadvaktaramavatu.
Avatu mam.
Avatu mam.
Avatu mam. Avatu mam. Again.
Avatu mam.
Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram.
Avatu vaktaram.
Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram. Avatu vaktaram. Again. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
If you put one more hand up to see how short this is. This one here has to be moved over. Everybody know that?
Yeah.
It's this last one where it says Bhaktaram. Bhaktaram. Those two sets have to be moved over above the end. If you haven't done that, it's correct on the website. Let's try this together. Pratishtita, I'm not just this, but Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita, Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita, that's okay. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita, Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam, Avira Virma Eti, Vedasya Mahani Istaha, Shrutam me ma prahasihi anena titena ahoratran santatami ratam vadishyami satyam vadishyami tanmam avatu tadvaktaram avatu avatu mam avatu vaktaram Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Yeah. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita, Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam, Avira Virma Eti, Vedasya Maani Istaha, Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi, Anena Titena, Aho ratran santatami ratam vadishyami satyam vadishyami tanmam avatu tadvaktaram avatu avatu mam avatu vaktaram om shanti shanti shanti. Let's do this next line. Number 8. Repeat after me. Just Om Bhadran No.
Om Bhadran.
That M, that Anuswara, will take the N of the No. Okay.
Om Bhadram No. Apivatya.
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 Manaha.
Manaha.
Om Bhadram No.
Om Bhadram No.
Apivatya Manaha.
Apivatya
Manaha.
Apivatya Manaha.
Om Bhadram No Apivatya Manaha.
Om Bhadram No Apivatya Manaha.
Om Bhadram No. Om Bhadram No. Om Bhadram No. Om Bhadram No Apivatya. Apivatya Manaha. Apivatya Manaha. Apivatya Manaha. Apivatya Manaha. Apivatya Namaha. Om Bhadram No Apivatya Manaha. 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 Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shanti, shanti. I'll ask Swamiji what this, what these ones mean that don't have a bhasha, but I'll tell you what I think it means. Om, then Bhadram means that which blesses, that which is auspicious, you know, for your own well-being. So Bhadram is, it's a blessing, okay? Naha means us. Apivatya means to make happy. To make well, to make happy. So I take this, it's a imperative mood. May our mind make us happy. May the mind, which is Bhadram, means blessed, auspicious, may it bless us. May our own mind bless us with auspiciousness, make us happy. Antakarna Shuddhi. But let me check... When I'll find out, like I'll get a word for word from Swamiji, and he has the commentaries and all of this. So, just so that you have an idea, you can know Bhadram. The word Bhadram means that which is a blessing, auspicious, grace is Bhadram. Naha means for us, right? It's in the plural, genitive or dative, okay? Yeah, of the verb pronoun I. And then apivatya means to make happy. And manaha means mind, okay? So, may the, and manas and bhadram can be here in the same case, right? So may the mind bless us. May the mind, which is auspicious, bless us. That's how I'm taking it. Might be a better way to take it, and I'll find out from Swamiji.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a prayer.
Yeah, all of these are shanti pantas.
For us.
For us, naha, for us. Or it also could be genitive. Naha. It can be genitive or dative. Can our mind be auspicious? Can our mind, which is auspicious, may it bless us? Something like that. I'm not sure. Or may it could be apivatya, may you, this might be better, may you, O Bhagawan, bless our mind with auspiciousness. Actually, I think that's what it is. I think apivatya is in the... second person singular. So that's better. May you, O Lord, bless our mind with make our mind happy. Bless it with auspiciousness.
Well, Bhagavan does that.
Yeah. But let me check with Swamiji. I don't ever feel comfortable if I don't have a bhasha that tells me exactly what it means. But it's nice to know kind of what it means. Let's try it again. I'll just chant it for a few times. Om Padranno Apivataya Manaha. 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 Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, good. Now we know all of these. There's not many more of these Shanti thoughts to learn. Okay, let's take just a break from that here. All right, Atma Bodha, verse 28. Atma Vabhasayate Kaha. Atma Vabhasayate Kaha. Bhujyadin Indriyanicha. Bhujyadin Indriyanicha. Deepo Katadivat Swatma. Deepo Katadivat Swatma. Jadais Tairna Vabhasayate. Jedi Stirna Babasyate. What's the other raga? Anybody know? Atma Babasyate Kaha. Atma Babasyate Kaha. Bhujadin Indriyanicha. Bhujadin Indriyanicha. Deepo Katari Vatswatma. Deepo Katari Vatswatma. Jedi Stirna Babasyate. Jedi Stirna Babasyate. You break the Sunday. Atma Avabasyati Ekaha. Atma Avabasyati Ekaha. Buddhi Adini Indriyani Cha. Buddhi Adini Indriyani Cha. Deepaha Ghatta Adivat. Ghatta Adivat. Swa Atma. Jadaihi Taihi na avabhasyate. Jadaihi taihi na avabhasyate. Okay? Jadaihi taihi na avabhasyate. Or did I make my... Well, maybe I've got a typo. It's always a possibility. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the otter. See, you see the Jadaihi, the S. And then the Tyler. See that otter over the na? That's Taihi. That otter is Visarga. It goes... The otter will always go at the end of the syllable. And when it's a long, like a ah or e... It's kind of a long ways away, right?
Man, it's way out there. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. On the same page.
You're actually two syllables ahead.
Yeah.
Right ahead.
Do everybody see that?
It's like if somebody hit a home run.
So I'm just going to read it for the Sunday broken, so just follow along. Atma avabhasayati ekaha. Buddhi adini indriyani cha. Deepaha ghata adivat swa atma jadaihi taihi na avabhasyate. Okay, everybody? Let's look at the meaning. Atma, from Atman. Nominative singular, the Atma. Avabhasayati, Avabhasyati is, it's actually causal here. Avabhasyati means to illumine, to make something shine. So in English, we just say to illumine. The Atma of Avabhasyati illumines. Ekaha, again, nominative singular, like Ramaha. Atma, Ekaha. The Atma, which is one, right? The Eka means one. So Atma, Ekaha, Avabhasyati. The Atma, nominative singular. Ekaha, nominative singular. So the one Atma of Avabhasyati illumines. Third person singular, present tense. What does it illumine? The buddhyadini, the buddhi, etc. Why does it say, when it says buddhi, etc., that needs to bring to your mind a group. That the group that begins with the buddhi. Buddhi, ahankara, citta, manas. Right? So we use adi. Adi really means beginning with. And in Sanskrit, this adi is used all of the time to, as a shortcut for, instead of naming the whole group, like if I were to say, for instance, shabdadi, shabda means sound. So that would stand for all of the five sense objects. Or if I said shrotradi, all of the five sense organs. So here, buddhyadi, the buddhi, etc., that group beginning with the buddhi. Now this would be, because we have a verb, avabhasyati, and that's in the third person singular, and we already have the subject, the Atma, which is one, illumines. The buddhyadi, buddhyadini, that would be in the accusative plural, right? Neuter accusative plural. So buddhyadini, indriyani cha, and the indriyas. So we have by the indriyas here means the sense organs. Okay. So it says, the self, which is one, illumines the buddhi, means that group beginning with the buddhi, and the indriyas. So the one self illumines many things, right? It illumines the buddhi, the manas, the citta, the ahankara. It illumines all the indriyas, the five sense organs, okay?
Aren't the sense organs included in mind?
No. It's included in the subtle body. But the mind is that group of four, buddhi, manas, citta, and ahankara, and then you have the five sense organs. So the sense organs are not included in the mind, but the mind illumines the sense organs. Right? Okay. So that's the first line. Then, as always, it's going to be giving an example. Deepaha. Deepaha means a lamp. Gutta, a pot. Gutta adivat. Like a lamp. No, it says a lamp, pot, etc., but like. So how would you use that? You go back and you take the verb, and you would say from this deepaha gatadivat, you would say like the lamp illumines a pot, etc. And what would the etc. means? Any inert object. Right, any gutta, anything that can be objectified by the sense organs, any object. So just like a lamp, which is one, illumines a pot, etc. So like a lamp illumines a pot, etc. So the vat, that like, which is an indeclinable, is put at the end of gatadivat, and that kind of circles that whole thing, deepaha gatadivat. And so you're going to bring in the understanding from the previous sentence. But let's do this, the second half first, and we'll see it. Swa Atma, one's own self. When you see swa in front of a noun, it means one's own. So if I say swa buddhi, one's own buddhi, swa Atma, one's own self. Okay, one's own self, swa Atma. Atma is in the nominative singular. Jadaihi, instrument like Rama, Jadaihi, instrumental plural, okay? Taihi, it's a pronoun which you haven't learned yet, but if you see that ihi ending, you'll know it's being declined like an ending noun, Ramaihi. So Jadaihi, Taihi, by these which are Jada. Jada means inert. Na. So by these things which are inert. Jadahi, taihi. By these, taihi.
Taihi is the by these.
Yeah. Taihi means by these. Jadahi is adjectival to taihi. By these which are inert. Means they themselves don't have consciousness. They're inert. That's what jada means. Jadahi, taihi. Na. Avabhasyate. Now we have a passive tense. Na avabhasyate is not illumined. Oneself is not illumined. Na avabhasyate by these which are inert.
Could you do that one more time?
Jadaihi taihi by these which are jada, are inert. Jadaihi taihi. Na avabhasyate is not illumined. What is swa-atma? One's own self, oneself. No, we wouldn't say, we'll just say oneself. Okay. Swa-atma, oneself, na avabhasyate, is not illumined. Passive voice is not illumined by these, which are inert. Okay. So let's look at the whole thing. Atma avabhasyati ekaha. The Atma, which is one, illumines buddhyadini, the buddhi, etc., indriyani cha, and the indriyas. Okay? Deepaha gatarivat, like a lamp, deepaha, which is one, illumines a pot, etc. Do you see that? Which is one and a pot, etc. Do you see how you go take this deepaha, which means lamp, go up to the first sentence and take the avabhasyati ekaha, because it's a parallel construction. So in English we could just say just like a lamp, a pot, etc. But you know it's just like a lamp, which is one, illumines a pot, etc. Shows the pot, etc. stands for any object. Does everybody see that?
Is that just in the deepaha?
Deepaha is nominative singular, mm-hmm. and it means lamp. Then gutta means pot. Mm-hmm. The clay pot is gutta, right? Gutta, adi, etc. Vat is an indeclinable affix, and it means like. Okay. So that whole, if you say deepaha gutadi vat, you're going to take that whole like a lamp, a pot, etc. Then it says, one's own self, okay, na avabhasyate, is not illumined by these, which are jada. Then you will say again, just like a lamp is not illumined, right, by the pot. It's going to be worked both ways. So it's the swatma, the atman, the first sentence, goes with deepaha, and buddhyadini indriyani cha goes with gatarivat. And in the second half, swatma and deepaha are, again, it's parallel. So just if I said the self is not illumined by the buddhi and the indriyas because they're jada, just like a lamp is not illumined by a pot because it's jada.
Wow. Is the avabhasyati, at the top and the bottom of the verse, are they the same word?
They're the same word. The root is avabhas, to shine. Avabhasyati means to illumine, to make something else shine. Avabhasyate is the passive construction. If you remember, in passive construction, determination is always going to be atmanepada, and a ya is added to the root. So here, is illumined. One's own self is illumined, then na avabhasya, see that? Sya, with the Atmanepada, one's own self, na avabhasyate, one's own self is not illumined.
So in the last one, it's a half so and a full year. And in the first one, when you say avabhasyate, it's all full, right?
Yes, and the reason you're a little confused, with the causative, it looks just like a tenth gana root. And it means that aya. Right? So here you're seeing avabhasaya, aya. That's causal construction for the of a boss. The of a boss, yeah, conjunct consonant with a apne prendin, that's passive voice.
Okay.
Okay. You've learned passive. We haven't talked about it for a long time. We haven't spent much time on verbs for a long time. So we have to go back and review all of that. But I can at least talk about it in the verse. Okay?
So who wrote these verses?
It's attributed to Shankara.
And also, I think I've asked you this before, but after buddhi, when we say adini, you could just say adi or adini are same. Or
yes. It depends on the usage in the context.
Right,
it could be. It could
adi
be.
Adi is with a chota, with a small e.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Do you see the second line again in English?
Yeah. It's working off the first line, it says, a lamp, which is one, is illumines a pot, etc., like a lamp, which is one, illumines a pot, etc. Then it says, oneself it is not illumined by these, which are inert. So now, what we have to know is that you have to read this along with the example. So you'd actually be reading it twice. If you put in all of the words, you would say, all of the extra words that are the words that are being used twice. The Atma, which is one, illumines the buddhi, and the indriyas, just like a lamp illumines a pot, etc. Okay. Oneself is not illumined by these things which are inert, just as a lamp is not illumined by the pot, etc. Do you see the parallel construction? So and this is very, very common in Sanskrit. You don't have to say all these things twice. In English, we're going to want to maybe use more words than they would need to use in the Sanskrit, just to make the meaning clear. Everybody see it?
For example. Oh, no, the like is there.
The like is there.
Yeah.
But I mean having to repeat the Atma, which is one, illumines, like the lamp, which is one, illumines that pot. You don't really need to say that, I don't think. You could say the Atma, which is one, like the lamp, like the lamp illumines the pot. But then when you say the self, the Atma, is not illumined by these things which are inert, just like the lamp is not illumined by the pot, etc. I would say that again in English.
And when it says these things which are inert,
I just put in things there for English clarity. It's really just these.
But these refers to buddhi,
indriya.
And indriya.
That's right. But it's very powerful when you say, that the Atma is not illumined by the buddhi because it's inert, just like a lamp is illumined by a pot. Yeah.
Yeah,
it reduces the mind to a pot.
It's an inert object.
Yeah. The drisha, that which is objectified. Right?
Wait a minute. Oneself is not illumined by these things which are inert.
By these which...
Just as a pot is not... Just as the lamp is not illumined
by the pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great verse.
The whole ball of wax, isn't it?
They all are.
Yeah, they all are. That's it. Atma vabhan satyat chekah bhujadin indriyan. Atma vabhan satyat chekah bhujadin indriyan. Chandi prakatadi vatsvatma jaras tairna vabhan satyate. Atma vabhan satyat chekah. Atma vabhasyat chekah bhujyadin indriyani cha bhujyadin indriyani cha dipo kathari vatsvatma dipo kathari vatsvatma Jadaistairanapabhasyate, sobode nanyabodhe cha, sobode nanyabodhe cha, bhodarupatayatmanaha, nadipasyanyadipecha, yathasvatma prakashane. Let me break this into swa bodhe na swa bodhe na anya bodha icha. Na anya bodha icha. Shorty icha. Bodha rupataya atmanaha. Bodha rupataya atmanaha. Na deepasya anyat. Oh, sorry. Deepasya anya deepa icha. Deepasya anya deepa icha. Yata swa atma prakashane. Okay, it says Svabodhe, locative singular, in the knowledge of oneself. Now, locative is in, at, on, among, in reference to, concerning. So here it's more in reference to. Right? This is what we're talking about. So in reference to, in gaining knowledge of one's own self. But that in is not like in a pot or on a table.
So this could mean in my mind. It could mean in my buddhi.
It means more when we're talking about what we're talking about. So in knowledge of one's own self, it's in like that. Well, let me get the sentence and then you'll see more carefully.
Regarding?
Yeah, like regarding maybe. Svabodhe, you'll see what I mean when we get the sentence. Okay, these two words. Svabodhe, but just for now, locative singular. Na, not. Anya, another. Bodha, knowledge. Icha, desire. Icha is a desire. There is, the verb is asti, understood. There is no icha, there is no desire for a knowledge, for another knowledge. Right? In knowledge of oneself, in reference to knowledge of oneself, there is no desire for another knowledge. Yes, svabodha. In one's own knowledge. It really means in gaining knowledge of oneself, or if you take bodha as consciousness, right? So in knowing, how about in knowing oneself? You can also take like that. In knowing oneself, there is no desire. Icha means desire. Another way to say there is no need for another knowledge. You don't need some other knowledge or some other means of knowledge in order to know yourself. So that's the idea. In knowledge of oneself, there's no desire for another knowledge, right? They're really talking about means of knowledge. So let's look at how he deals with it. You can understand it by the example, okay? Svabodhe, but let's get the word. So in the knowledge of oneself, na anya bodha icha, there is no desire for another knowledge. And now this anya bodha icha, this is a compound, okay? So if you read a compound backwards, it'll break up naturally. The desire, a desire for knowledge, right? That's actually going to be a genitive construction. The desire, even though we use the word for, it's the object of the desire. You have a desire for something, right? There's two, just listen to this for a minute. Well, I'll explain this thoroughly later on the board, but just so that you understand. If you have a noun, like a noun desire, I could say the desire of Rama. That means that Rama is the one who has the desire, right? Still of. Or I could say the desire for a cookie. Then the cookie is the object of the desire. So in either case, I said the desire of Rama or the desire of a cookie. In either case, I'm using the genitive. But in the one case, so this is just something grammatical you have to understand about Sanskrit. The object, like I could have the sweeping. The sweeping of Rama means Rama's doing the act of sweeping. That's the Ishvakarta, the doer. Or I could say the sweeping of the street, right? Then street is the karma, the object. So here if I say, when I break this up, I would break it in the genitive. It means the desire for knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Another knowledge. So the relationship between anya and bodha is an adjectival relationship, a knowledge which is other. But it's the desire for a knowledge which is other. In English, you just say the desire for another knowledge. So in the knowledge of oneself, there is no desire for another knowledge. Na anya bodha icha. Okay. Why? Bodha rupataya atmanaha. Atmanaha, genitive singular. For the self. Now, rupa means nature or form. So bodha rupa would be because having the form of knowledge, and we would translate rupa here as nature. But it's not just rupa, it's rupa ta. That ta affix, like the tvam affix, means the state of being, the ness. Remember when I've said so many times if a word ends in tvam or ta, it gives the abstract.
This is taya.
Taya is in the instrumental singular of the feminine ta. Like shalaya. So you actually have bodha rupata. In the instrumental singular is bodha rupataya. Because of being, because of being of the nature of knowledge for the Atma. So that's a particular abstract construction. So because of, in English we'd say because the Atma's, because the self's nature is consciousness. And that's how we would say it. Because of the Atma's nature being consciousness. But in Sanskrit, this is how they say it. Because of being of the nature of consciousness of the Atma. Right? That's literally what's said there. But in English, we'd say, because of the Atma being of the nature of consciousness. That's that abstract, being of the nature of. Because of being of the nature of is the instrumental there. So here you have bodha rupataya atmanaha, because of being of the nature of consciousness for the Atma. Atmanaha, genitive singular. Bodha rupataya, instrumental singular. So in knowledge of oneself, there is no desire for another knowledge because of the Atma having for its nature knowledge. Literally consciousness, you know, or knowing. Let's look at the example. Na dīpasya, for a lamp, anya dīpa icha na, yata, just as, there is no desire for another lamp, for a lamp, right? Dīpasya, for a lamp, genitive, for a lamp, there is no desire for another lamp. So we would say for the knowledge of a lamp, for the shining of a lamp, right? There is no desire for another lamp.
Where do we get the shining?
Well, from the svoboda, but let me finish the...
Okay.
You'll see from the... Svatma prakashane. Okay? In lighting up, in the in the illumining or in the shining of one's own self, in the lighting up of one's own self, or in the shining of one's own self, Prakashan 8. So just as in the shining of one's own self, just as in the shining of one's own self. So there is no desire for another lamp, for a lamp. A lamp has no desire for another lamp, just as in the shining of one's own self. Just as in the shining of one's own self, there is no desire for another. There is no desire. Let me see. Get this more clear for you just a minute. In the Bhasha, yata deepasya swaprakashakale, just as at the time of its own shining, at the time that the lamp itself is shining, so yata deepasya swaprakashakale, swaprakashakale, just at the time, just as when the lamp itself is shining, deepa antara apeksha, there is naasti, there is no dependence on another lamp.
I was going to ask you, could the word icha, instead of saying desire, kind of also be need?
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
Yeah,
you can.
Makes kind of more sense.
In English, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the word that I said. You can think of it like that. So let's look at it like this. Swabodhe, everybody with me still? Swabodhe, in the knowledge of oneself, na anyabodha icha. There is no need for another knowledge. Right? Bodha rupataya manaha. We could say in the bodha, which is capital K knowledge, in the chaitanya, in the consciousness of oneself, just as there's no need for another lamp, for a lamp, which is itself shining, when itself is shining. In the Bhasha it says, Atma buddhi ahankar adibihi na avabhasyate. If the Atma is not illumined by the buddhi or the ahankara, right, etc. So if you're saying, like in the previous verse it says, if you're saying that the Atma is not illumined by these things, Tatarhi, then atmajnane, in the knowledge of the self, atmajnane, in the knowledge of the self, jnanantarena, another knowledge, bhavitavyam, should be there. Right? It means another means of knowledge should be there. Right? If you're saying, do you get it? If you're saying, in the previous verse it says, the atma is not illumined by the buddhi or the mind. Right? So it says, if that's so, then we need another knowledge. We need another way to know it, is the idea, right? Right? Jnana can mean knowledge or means of knowledge. So something else has to be there then. So thus this verse, Swabodhe. Then he says in the Bhasha, Atmanaha bodha rupatvat. Atmanaha bodha rupatvat. Because of being of the nature of knowledge for the self, so bodhe nitya sati nitya, he has this. When one's own self is there, which is nitya, changeless, timeless, then tasya atmanaha bodhaya, for the knowledge of that self, tasya atmanaha bodhaya, for the knowledge of that self, jnana anantara apeksha na asti, there is no dependence, apeksha, on another knowledge, another means of knowledge. Anubhava swarupa twat, because of being anubhava rupa, being its own experience. That's the self-evident. The anubhava, that consciousness, is its own experience, anubhava. Okay? Yata, just as deepasya, for a lamp, swaprakasha kale, at the time of its own shining. Swaprakasha kala, kala means time. So at the time of its shining, deepa anantara apeksha, na asti, there is no apeksha, there is no dependence on deepa anantara, on another lamp, right? Because it is its own shining. You don't need to bring something else in.
So this maybe also addresses perhaps an objection well, if it's not my mind or my sense organs, maybe it's something else.
Yeah, then how am I going to know it?
Yeah.
What's the other means of knowledge
right.
to bring into
right.
to make myself known then? Because you've just eliminated everything. No, because you don't need anything else because it's self-evident. Okay, let's take our change the car and break. Now, everybody ready? I want to introduce you to participles. And really what I want to do initially is just to explain to you what they are and kind of how they work. And I'll really teach you in detail how to form these participles later. But I want just for recognition now and to talk to you a little bit about it. Because I noticed that when in the class, in this class, when we're doing the Atmabodha, and also when I'm teaching, I'm always saying this is an indeclinable past participle, this is past passive participle, etc. So I want to show you what they are and how they work, okay? And just so that you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. So I'm going to look at what we call past passive participle first, okay? I'm going to tell you how it's formed, but I don't particularly want you to worry about that right now. I want you to get a grasp of what it is, okay? But the past passive participle, we should just call it PPP, past passive participle, right, is formed by adding ta to the root, just the letter ta. And sometimes it'll be ita. And the reason whether it's ta or ita, and you'll find this all the way along now, and we're learning participles. In Sanskrit, all of the roots are divided up into two forms, some that take an e before certain affixes and some that don't take an e. And I guess if you were really getting into it, you could study a Panini Sutra that gives a whole list of the roots that happen to take this e. But for now, for all practical purposes, I'll be pointing out that the root can either take T or it can take an E before the T, so T or Ita. But let me show you now, just using one simple one that comes all the time. The root kr, to do, right? Often you're going to see this past passive participle, kritta. And past passive participle is going to translate as is or was done. Even though it says past passive, it's really going to be translated in the past passive or the past present. So it'll translate as is or was done. Okay? So, let me just give an example. Done or made, by the way. Kr means to do or to make. And also this root, kr, I've said this before, it really takes on the translation of whatever the activity is. Like if I said sweeping is done, right? It means I've swept, right? Or the kingdom is done, that would mean the kingdom is ruled. Right, so kr, what I'm saying is this root kriya is done or is made. In Sanskrit, they use it very liberally. So in English, we wouldn't say, like, the kingdom is ruled, you know, or the job the job is done. He was working. So what I'm saying, kriya has a very wide application. Don't worry so much about that right now. We're saying is done or is made. I don't want to get into a big diatribe on kriya. Let me look, show you this. If I said gataha, masculine, now let's assume it, gataha, kritaha. The pot is made. Right? Where the asti is understood. Okay? The pot is made. Gataha kritaha. So now what do you notice is that this past passive participle is
climbed like a noun, like an ending noun. Okay. So if I said gatau, kutau, the two pots are made. Right? Everybody see that?
Would you say that again?
It's declined like an ending noun, an ending adjective. And so if the noun is nominative, and if the noun is masculine, then this will be declined like an ending masculine. If the noun is neuter, palum, the fruit, kritam, is made. If it was shala means room, shala, krita. So in other words, this past passive participle will just be declined like an ending noun. And it will depend, and it will be feminine if it's related to a feminine noun. It will be declined as a neuter if it's related to a neuter noun. It will be declined as a masculine if it's related to a masculine noun. Right? But what makes a participle so powerful is that the past passive participle can be used as the verb in the sentence in a passive form. The pot is made. Everybody see that? The pot is made. We're just going to stick with pot. But it can also just be used as an adjective. So now watch this. Ramena kritaha. I'm not doing the sandhi. Gataha patati. Patati means to fall. The main sentence, gataha patati, patati, the pot falls. Can you see that? Patat, gataha, nominative singular, pot, patati, third person singular. Gataha patati, the pot falls. The pot which was made by Rama falls. Here it's just being used as an adjective. See here? Here it just says, here it's being used as a verb. The pot falls. The pot is made.
That Rama made the pot fall.
That's a different sentence.
That's a different.
Yeah. That would be causal. That's like saying Rama causes the pot to fall. Mm-hmm. That's different. But here, if you keep the same meaning, is made, say, the pot is made. That's the sentence, right? The pot is made, period. Or I could even say, this would still be the verb in the sentence, Ramena. The pot is made by Rama. Krita is still being used as the verb. The pot is made Ramena, by Rama. Okay? But here, this is the verb. The pot falls. Now, this past passive participle is being used as an adjective. The pot, which was made by Rama, falls. So this becomes what we call an adjectival phrase. The pot, which was made by Rama, falls. So what this is telling you here is that these past passive participles, because they're declinable, right, they're declinable, they can be used in a sentence just like we do in English. Like I could say, the pot that was made by Rama fell to the floor. That's an English sentence, right? That's how you say it in Sanskrit. The pot that was made by Rama, it fell. And so, what's so great about these participles is they're easy to form, right? And you can use them as the noun in a sentence, and you don't have to remember all of these declensions if you know Rama or Pala or Shala. You know how to decline them. And because of this, you'll find in reading, the participles are used all the time. They're pervasive. So how many times have you heard me say this is a past passive participle, right? Everybody see that? Can I erase this? Let me show you another example of a past passive participle. Sometimes you have intransitive verbs. A really common one is the root gum, to go. And if you remember, an intransitive verb is one that doesn't take an object. The intransitive verb goes back to the subject, like if I say I cry or I smile, there's no object there. Where if I say I hit, then you have to, you have an expectancy for what I'm going to be doing, hitting something. That's transitive, right? But if I say I walk, I'm the one that's walking, or I run, or I go. Those are intransitive. That means it doesn't take an object. And so intransitive verbs in the past passive participle are always used in the active sense. So if I have gataha, and there are some different ways of forming a past passive participle, like a lot of roots that ends in a nasal, the nasal will drop. So the past passive participle form of gum is gataha. Another one you'll see all of the time. So if I were a man, I could say aham gataha. Or masculine. Or if I said aham gata, feminine. This is in the nominative case, first person singular. Nominative case, first person singular. But if I read aham gataha, means I went, and I know the one that's going is a man. If I read aham, nominative singular, gata, like shala, nominative singular, aham gata, I went, I know that it's a woman. If I saw ramaha, gataha, Rama went. Okay. Or sita. Sita went. Sita, gata. Okay.
So it's a root and top, or ita and the declination.
Yeah, but I'm going to show you a few sundays, and I'll teach you these sundays in depth, but just so you can see how some of the different ones look. Okay, can I erase this? Because if you get used to seeing these type of sundays, it's pervasive for when we are doing all of the participles. In many instances, if you just simply add a ta, kre, krita. There are some where you add itta, like pat. Just really want you to see what these look like. Patita. Still, all declined like an ending. Ending, okay? Then you'll have some that are common like this. If you have bud, good plus ta. There's a sundi that will make this look like this. Bud. Da. Where what happens is this da goes to, it's unaspirated da, and the ta is replaced by da. But you're going to get used to seeing this particular construction, but for now, I just want you to see it as a possibility. Okay? Another common would be way of seeing it. Tiaj plus ta. And you have often when you have a palatal, it will often change to a ka. And you'll have tiak ta. where the jaw changes to a cup. Tip, tip the. Sometimes, if you have a sh, word ending in a sh, like brish, brishna, the sh will change to the lingual, and then the ta will change to the lingual. So there's a few of these where you'll be seeing it in some different forms, but once you understand the sandhi, that's not particularly difficult. Okay. So for that, pull out just so I can show you a few things. Again, this is more just for your appreciation. Turn to page 86 in your Antoine. You don't have Antoine? The perfect participle passive is what we're calling past passive participle. There's different names for this. Most people call it past passive participle. And in Sanskrit, you see in the parentheses, its technical term is nishta, and its ending is ikta, which is a Panini term. You don't need to learn that. If you were learning Panini, you would know that the ending is ta, and that letter ka tells you that the root takes no guna. But since I'm not teaching you Panini Sutras at the moment, you don't need to really know that. I'm just explaining what it is. So let's look at it. Perfect participle passive, past passive participle, is formed by adding ta to the verbal root. So look at some of these. Je, jitta, mre, mrita. Sna, snata. Shru, mine has a little typo there. I don't know if you have an U on yours. Should say shru, shruta.
It's a
short. Yeah, should be a short U there. Then smre, smrita. Hre, hrita. Ni, nita. Chi, chitta. Tyaj, tyakta. There's where an example of the ja, a palatal going to ka, tyakta. Now here's one, there's no problem. Op, opta. Here, where you have a sha, that's a sandhi rule that you've learned actually. A ta will go to the lingual. When it's followed by, when it's preceded or followed by a lingual, it'll go to the lingual. So push will become pushta. Deep, deepta, no problem. Much, cha, palatal. See that? Will become mukta. Kship, kshipta. Us, esta. No problem. Tush, there's a lingual. See the tush?
Mm-hmm.
Tushta. There's ta goes to ta. Sich, there's a palatal. Goes to the ka, sikta. Now, see this sridge? Once in a while, in some of the roots, a palatal will go to a lingual sha. So there's a small group of roots that will do that. So sridge, the ja changes to sha, and then you get shrishta. Dish, dishta. As your palatal changes to the lingual, dishta. Stu, stuta. Okay, so these are just, the ta is just simply added on, and then there are sandhi rules that need to be learned, or you just need to be able to recognize it, that will sometimes cause the letters to change. Let's look at the next one. A great number of roots insert an e before adding ta. I mean, a huge number, right? So that's why you get used to being able to see either something is ta or itta. So let's look at what that would look like. Creed, credita.
Jeev Jeevita. Raksh Rakshita. The good thing about this, there's no sandhi. Right? Lik Likita. Kup Kupita. Save Savita. Shiksh Shikshita. Yach Yachita. Nind Nindita. Kamp Kampita. Pat Patita. Jolp Jolpita. Chur Chorita. Now, I have to say something. We'll see this later. But the tenth gunna, remember you've learned first, fourth, sixth, and tenth? The tenth gunna is odd. It has its own, its own little world. And so things that, the rules that apply for all the other gunnas will often not apply to the tenth gunna. So the tenth gunna, even though in all of the other roots there won't be any change, no guna, but if a root takes a guna or vriddhi in the tenth gunna, it will even here. Right? So normally you would think it would be churita, but it takes guna, chorita. And that's because chur is tenth gunna. So gun, gunita, chal, chalita, chintita, baksh, bakshita, bash, bashita, rud, rudita, rach, rachita. Except for the tenth gunna, if you notice, all the only thing that's happening there is if this being added on. Did everybody see that? Let's look at the next one. The following verbs lose their radical nasal before ta. In the Panini Sutras, there'll be a list of these verbs, this handful of verbs, and it'll just, that's what the sutra says. The nasal is dropped. Okay? So, I showed you one. Gum becomes gutta. Yum becomes yetta. Num, netta. Ram, rata. Kshan, shata. Tan, tata. Man, mata. Han, hata. So, it's a small group of roots drop their nasal.
What is it called? Radical nasal?
Radical is the penultimate. It's the nasal before the last letter.
So you just memorize.
Yeah. You memorize, and some of these are so common. Like, for instance, gum, gutta, right? Gum means to go. Num means to bow down, like namaste, right? So netta. So you see it all the time. Ram, also, ram in Vedanta, ram means to revel, like reveling in the self, the mind reveling in the self. So you know urata, right? So you get very, very used to these. Another one, man. Man means to think. Mata. Han means to kill. Hata. So these are words that all come up all the time in the Vedanta. So next time when I see this, when I'm reading for you and I see hataha, I'll say that's past passive participle from han, nasal drops, hataha. Okay?
What does radical mean?
The penultimate means the one before the, right, the final.
Okay.
Now, this is another group, and it's also just a group of six, and there'll be a sutra for it. It says the following verbs lengthen their radical vowel. Okay. Krum, so the radical vowel is a. It lengthens, becomes krum. Krum plus ta, you're going to have a sandhi rule, where the M changes to N because of the ta. If you have an M followed by a ta, it'll change to na. So krum becomes kranta, klum klanta, dum danta, shum shanta. Shanta is one you've seen all the time. Shantoham, I am peace, right? Kshum kshanta, shrum shranta. Okay. Go to number five. We'll learn this in depth later, but sometimes the semi-vowel of a verb or of a root will change to its vowel equivalent. You are used to changing a vowel to its semi-vowel. But sometimes it's the opposite, where the semi-vowel will be changed to the vowel. So let's look at an example here. If I take the root yej, we're just going to read through these and I'll teach it to you later. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Yej ishta, vyed vidda, prach prishta. These really have to be memorized. Gra grahita, vach upta. That's when you could kind of circle. That's when you see all the time. It is said. Vad udita, vap upta, vas ushita, va uda, swap supta. Circle that one. Also, if you go back to the beginning, yej, ishta, vyed, vidda, prach, prishta. Prach means to ask. Prishta is asked. So you might circle that one and circle gra and grahita. In the sense, because these come up all the time and they're a little exceptional, but whenever we come across them in reading now, I'll point it out.
Can you say again which ones are the numbers?
Prach, prishta,
okay.
Gra, grahita. Gra means to grasp. It can be to grasp physically or to grasp in your mind, to understand, right? Or to cling, right?
It's nothing to do with house or household.
I don't know. I'll look at the etymology of...
That's the root.
I'm not sure it's the root. I have to check and see. Griham. And grahav is village. So, vach means to speak, upta, spoken. And then, so that's a good one. Swap and supta. Swap means to sleep. Supta means slept. Like when I say, when they say, aham suptaha, I slept. I slept well, right? So suptaha. Let's look at number 6. These are very common.
I've got 4.
Yeah, prach, gra, vach, and swap.
And swap was sleep.
Yeah.
Slept.
Mm-hmm.
Slept.
Yeah. I slept well.
Okay.
Because it's intransitive. Now these. Look at number 6. Verbs ending with the single aspirates da, ba, or ha. See that? Da, ba, or ha. Change those aspirates to da, ba, or ga, respectively, while ta becomes da. I'm going to show you. I want to show you
a couple of these so that you can kind of get used to it. So when I'm doing some reading some things, you'll see it. First one, yud, to fight. Okay? Yud. The ta, first of all, in all cases, is going to go to da. Okay? And this is going to go, see how they say? Da goes to da. Okay? That's the next one. Ba. It's going to its unaspirate form. Right? Unaspirate form. And ha goes to ga. Okay? So here, and okay, let me put this up here. And ta always goes to da.
Excuse me.
So let's look at, if I have yud, the da will go to the unaspirate. Yud. And the ta will go to da.
Why doesn't it say goes here in the book change to unaspirate? It says.
Yeah.
Aspirates change to aspirates, it says.
Let's see. verbs with a single aspirate, dhabha or ha, change those aspirates to.
Okay, I just missed it.
Well, ta becomes da, okay? So here, this one, da, is going to go to da. So yud will become yud da. Okay, ta is always going to go to da. Does everybody see it? Take this to the unaspirate, and the ta becomes da, so you get yud da. What about rud?
Okay, I don't see it. Where's the ta?
The ta.
Yeah, where's the ta in you?
This is the root. We're adding the ta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez, I forgot all about that.
Okay?
Okay.
What happens? This goes to its unaspirate. And this goes to ta.
Da.
This goes to the unaspirate. This goes to da. So you da. This goes to root. It's going to be the same here. Root plus ta. This goes to the unaspirate. This goes to da. Root ta. Okay?
So they're very specific verbs where that happens.
Yes. Yeah.
The verb. And this is a specific PPP rule also.
No, it's going to have wider application. It's specific roots that end in these letters. Da, ba, or ha. Let's look at one that ends in ba. This is so common in Sanskrit. I mean, in Vedanta, love, to obtain. Ba goes to its unaspirate. What's the unaspirate of ba? This goes to da. Mm. Right? Let's try another one of those.
Now hang on, let us catch up here.
So loved plus ta. Okay. Ba goes to unaspirate ba. Ta goes to da. Shubha plus ta. Same. Let's try one with the H. It's ha. The ha goes to da. You have to just memorize that. Well, ha is a guttural letter. And then da is the soft consonant. Okay, so if you want some logic, that's what it is. If, the ha goes to ga. The ta goes da da. And all of these still end in a, so they're all still declined as an ending adjective, for like Rama, Pala, Shala. See? Hold up. Go to page 93 in your Bhandarka. Page 93 in Bhandarkar. We're going to do some of these sentences on page 93. Look at the second Sanskrit sentence in the first column. Kumbhakarena gataha kritaha. Page 93. Everybody with me? So repeat after me. Kumbhakarena.
Kumbhakarena.
Ghataha.
Kritaha.
Okay, first thing. Kumbhakara is a pot maker. That's what the word means. Ghata is a pot. The root kra means to do or to make. So, kumbhakarena. What tense is, what ending is that?
Kumbhakarena, ena, brahmena.
Instrumental.
Instrumental singular. Kumbhakarena. By the pot maker. Gataha. What case is that? What declension? Ramaha. Gataha. Nominative singular. Ramaha, Ramal, Ramaha. Kumbhakarena, Gataha, the pot. So by the pot maker, Gataha, the pot. Kritaha. Kri plus the affix ta makes a past passive participle. Kritaha, Gataha, Kritaha. The pot is made. Gataha, Kritaha. The pot is made. Kumbhakarena, by the pot maker. Kumbhakarena, by the pot maker, Kataha, the pot, Kritaha, is made. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Next sentence. Repeat after me. Harina, Sarpo, Drishtaha. Harina, Sarpo, Drishtaha. Okay. Hari. Name of a person. Harina. Do you recognize the case? Instrumental singular. Harina. By Hari. Sarpa means snake. What case would Sarpaha be? Sarpaha. Mm-hmm. Masculine nominative singular, like Ramaha. So, by Hari. Sarpaha, the snake. Trishtaha.
Past passive participle. The root is trish. Plus ta. And you've got a palatal sh followed by a ta. It goes to the lingual. And then the ta changes to the lingual, and you get drishta. So if that means, if drish means to see, drishtaha means is or was seen. So if I say sarpaha drishtaha, right, sarpaha drishtaha, it would mean the sarpa, the snake, drishtaha, is seen, harina, by hari. Harina sarpaha drishtaha. Do we see that? Go to the second column, the top of the second column. Ramasya pida nashta. Repeat. Ramasya pida nashta. Ramasya. What case is that? Genitive singular. Of Rama. Pida. Pida is a feminine noun. Pida means pain or affliction. Pida would be what? What case? Pida. Like shala. Nominative singular. So if I said ramasya pida, it means the pain or the affliction. Ramasya, of Rama. Rama's pain. Rama's affliction. The root is, for this verb, is nush. Nush plus ta, like drish plus ta, it becomes, goes to the lingual, nashta. Nesh means to perish or to destroy, to go away.
So, pida.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
very much.
You're welcome. You didn't jump it off.
I'm kind of used to it. This
whenever she delivers a package, I get over.
So, nushta, you see the nushta? Because it's declined in the feminine. Okay? So, the pain, the affliction of Rama perishes, goes away, is destroyed. Pida nushta. Okay?
Shishasha.
Huh?
Pidaha nushte.
No, if it would be, if you put it in the plural, it would be.
The
shish is
being
went
away.
It'd be nashtaha, though. Yeah. Yeah. Shishanam pida nashta, or shishanam pidaha nashtaha. Right? Let's look at the next one. Upayaha chintitaha. You see the sandhi? Upayash. Upayaha chintitaha. You say that. Upayaha chintitaha. Everybody see the shakara? There's a visarga. Upayas chintitaha. That shows the visarga. Upayaha chintitaha. Upaya is a, it can be a remedy or a means to attain something, right? So here they're translating as remedy, but also means any type of means, a sadhana, a means for attaining something. So here, let's use remedy. Upayaha, nominative singular, right? Upaya, ending noun. Upayaha, nominative singular, the remedy, the upaya. Chintita, do you see the itta ending? The root is chint. Chint means to think, to contemplate, to think about. So, chintitaha is in the nominative singular. Upayaha, chintitaha. The remedy is considered, is thought about. Past passive participle. Or what is or was. Upayaha, chintitaha. Does everybody see that itta ending there? Chintita?
Mm-hmm.
So, would it be the remedy is considered, or the remedy was considered?
Either. Depends on the context. Technically, it's a past passive participle, but it's used in context actively, or I mean in present or past tense. So, upayaha chintita, the remedy was thought of, was contemplated. The remedy is contemplated. Okay. Everyone see that? Let's look at the next one. Griham pravishtaha kinkaraha. Repeat. Griham pravishtaha kinkaraha. Kinkaraha. Is that where that M takes the sound of the ka?
Okay, look. Here's your root. Pravish. Pravish means to enter. Here you've got a sibilant sha, right? The palatal sha, followed by a ka. This will go to sha, and this will go to ta. Pravishtaha. So let's look at what it means. Griham means house. Okay?
And remember, to enter, like to go, is a transitive, intransitive verb. Right? So, griham means house. In the accusative singular, griham. Pravishtaha. Pravish means to enter. Kinkaraha is a servant. Kinkaraha would be in the nominative singular. Kinkaraha. So griham, pravishtaha, kinkaraha. Griham, pravishtaha, kinkaraha, the servant, kinkaraha, pravishtaha, entered, right? Griham, the house. The servant entered the house. Go to the next page. Go to the third sentence down. Ramena. Did I see it? Ramena Bahavaha. Repeat. Ramena Bahavaha.
Ramena Bahavaha.
Kupas Tadagash. So it'd be Kupaha. Kupaha. Tadagaha. Tadagaha. Cha. Ukataha. Do you see that? I want you to see the sandhi. First is Ramena, no sandhi there. Bahavaha, no sandhi. Then Kupaha. Does everybody see that? That is a Visarga. Kupaha. Then the next, Tadagaha, that sha, is a Visarga. So Tadagaha. Then cha, and then a plus u, cha plus u, so it'd be cha utkataha. Everyone see?
No.
No? You don't see? Okay.
I got as far as... Oh, our time's up. Tadagaha. Okay, that's that sha, okay. Then cha. Then ut. Kataha. The a plus u is o. Tadagaha, that's a sha there. Did I leave something out? Kupaha, tadagaha, cha. So this is a sha. The sha, cha, a plus u is o. Kupaha, tadagaha, cha, utkataha.
We'll probably have to work on this next time, but let me just go over it quickly with you. Ramena, by Rama. Bahavaha, many. Kupaha, wells. And Tadagaha. It's a different type of a well. I forget what it's called. That's another something that's dug in the ground. Kupaha. So many wells and Tadagas. Utkataha were dug. Utkataha. From utka, you add the ta on, utkata. In the plural, like ramaha, ramau, ramaha, this would be utkataha, utkatau, utkataha. So by Rama, bahavaha from bahu, bahavaha, many, kupaha, wells, and tadagas, the cha and the tadagas, kupas and tadagas, utkataha, were built. I hear something.
We're built or we're dug?
We're dug, we're dug. Hey, hello, welcome.